You are listening to KTOO Juno. The program is Juno Afternoon. We are live and local, and the time is 6 minutes past the hour. I'm Cheryl Snyder, today's host. Our first guest today is Aaron Elmore, the co-founder and artistic director of Theater in the Rough. Welcome, Aaron. It's always great to have you in.
Good afternoon. Thanks.
I thought we could start today by having you first just tell us a little bit about your theater company. You've been around for close to 30 years now, is that
right? Very close to 30 years, yeah. Katie and I met and very shortly thereafter decided to move here to Juneau. We were working in Southeast at the time when we met. And once we moved here to Juneau, we found this overachievy, marvelous, wonderful community and so many things going on, but they weren't doing plays that we really wanted to do, and there was, seemed like a niche for it. And so we thought, well, let's give it a try. So we started doing the plays that we like to do, and people started coming, and here we are now, almost 48 plays later.
So. How would you describe the plays you like to do? What's a common theme?
Story is critical. Character, language tends to be a big draw for us. We also look for, we do tend to like classics. We like stories that have been around quite a while. And it's not to say anything against new work, but that's just where we're drawn to.
Mm-hmm. So in the 48 productions that you've done, what have been some of the standouts for you?
Wow. Well, we did. We liked Twelfth Night so well. We did it twice. We've done so many different shows over the years. It's really hard to pick a favorite. But some of the ones that have started to really pop out for me in recent years have been Henry V and then last summer's Twelfth Night. We've had a wonderful time doing both of those, and both of them have a sort of overtly theatrical quality to them. And in Twelfth Night, we sort of rediscovered the value of focusing on relationships. And so what we've really tried to do more than ever before, even especially in Hamlet, which has 400 years of baggage attached to it, some of it marvelous and some of it absolutely ludicrous, we decided that we'd focus first on the relationships. And so when we scheduled our rehearsals, we started out night number one, okay, this is going to be Hamlet and Horatio. We'll do their whole play. And then the night after, a couple of nights later, it was like Hamlet and Ophelia. We're going to do their whole play. And just kind of move from there, and things started to form up. And we've come down finally with a production that we were very, very proud of. We opened 2 weeks ago. We opened the 5th of July, and we're now looking forward to our third weekend here, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week, and next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The Sunday shows are matinees, and the evening performances are at 7:30. The matinees are at 2. And another unusual thing we're going to do this time, because Hamlet has so much to say, and because the play itself speaks very deeply to so many people, we thought, well, what if we took a night and just sort of unpacked the production and unpacked the show, and people got a chance to talk about things they liked? And we thought, well, let's have dessert when we do along with that and maybe serve tea. So McPheeters Hall will be a slightly more genteel atmosphere on Thursday next, on the 25th. And we'll have at 7:30, we'll give you a little teaser of some of the scenes. We'll try some things upside down and inside out. We'll unpack the fight and show people how the puppet works and all those kinds of behind the scenes. Sort of like DVD extras for people who are actually sitting there in the crowd enjoying snacks.
Perfect. So I think we should say, we haven't explicitly said yet that you are in the middle of the production of Hamlet.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
You said something interesting. You said that the shows come with 400 years worth of baggage that you kind of have to work through. Can you speak a little bit more to that? What do you mean?
Well, Hamlet, I think, has more running feet of library shelves filled with people's settled opinions and hogwash about the production than any other play. Miles and miles and miles of scholarship. Every single comma and period in the play has been debated exhaustively. But all that scholarship is, as marvelous as it may be and a terrific achievement as it may be, doesn't let the play itself live, doesn't let the character live, and that can only happen on stage. And that's where I think these plays come alive and just explode with passion and with sound and with all of the humanity that you can possibly jam into about 2.5 hours worth of rich experience. Hamlet's story is pretty well known. Spoilers, yeah, it's a tragedy. It's not so doesn't end so happy for a lot of people in this particular production. But along the way, you learn to love these people. I've seen this. I've been in three productions of this play. I've played the role. I've seen numerous other, at least half a dozen other productions of it. And I've loved this play for my whole life. I got first introduced to it when I was a senior in high school. What's not to love? It's this huge, big, enormous pageant. And as a huge, big, enormous pageant, it completely took my heart from the very first moment I ever read it. And I've wanted to direct it for 20 years. But what struck me as I got down to reading it this time, and I've been studying it now, getting prepped for this production for about a year, is how impressive it is. But finally realizing that the play being impressive is not enough. It's all very well to be able to come in and hear all that shouting and hear all that language and hear all that thunder. But if you don't care about the people that you're looking at, it's only going to get you so deep. And so when we started working on the relationships for this, and we found out how much these people loved each other, how much not just the obvious pairings, but also, you know, between Claudius and Hamlet, which is really the most antagonistic relationship, and certainly they have their issues to work out. But we started asking ourselves, what is there anything in the text that says that these two hate each other from the very beginning of the play? And there absolutely is not. There's no reason to expect that this uncle and this nephew doesn't just get along like a house on fire up until Uncle Claudius starts asking Hamlet to stop mourning his father so soon. Hamlet's very angry with his mother, but famously, of course, there's absolutely no textual evidence whatsoever to say that Hamlet is somehow attracted to his mother, which has been, when I was a kid, that whole Freudian thing was we wasted all kinds of hours and hours of time talking about that.
So for those who may not be familiar with the story of Hamlet, can you give us just a brief synopsis of what people might expect when they come in? What's the storyline?
Just before the play begins, about 2 months before, a king has died mysteriously, suddenly, asleep in his garden. About a month later, his widow marries his brother. And about a month after that, a ghost of the dead king appears on the battlements to a couple of soldiers and won't talk to them. But eventually the soldiers work out they should talk to this somebody who knows about these kinds of things, and the person who knows about these kinds of things is Horatio. And Horatio is Hamlet's most sure confidant and closest friend. And Horatio says we should bring Hamlet out here because this ghost looks like the king. Maybe he'll talk to Hamlet. The king does tell Hamlet, does talk to Hamlet, and the king, the dead king, the ghost of the dead king, rather, tells Hamlet, I was killed by your uncle. And then he married my girl, and that's terrible, but don't blame your mother. I just want you to go after this guy. Go get some revenge. And Hamlet, wanting once more and still to please his father, says yes to the revenge, and then suddenly finds himself trying to figure out how he can do this and survive the process, and do it correctly, and do it in a way that he can live with. And that is what he wrestles with for, it's really hard to say within the context of the play, but it's at least several days it takes him to kind of get all the ducks in a row. Eventually, he produces a play that looks a lot like the death of his father for his uncle, and his uncle freaks out, and matters sort of fall apart from there. Ends up with a very famous duel. Claudius decides that he needs to get rid of this problem called Hamlet once and for all, and so he rigs a fight. Everything sort of goes wrong during that particular scene for more or less everybody. But it's a great, famous, marvelous duel that really is a great example of how within Shakespeare a piece of sort of choreographed set-piece violence can really help tell the story in a very moments-to-moment way. These characters are struggling through to try to make sense of their world and try to do things right.
So you've been rehearsing the play since May.
Yeah, about the middle of May.
How big a cast is this?
It's for 12 people. You can do almost any Shakespeare play with 12 people. Some of the plays have 14 characters. Some of them have 45. It really depends. But you can do it with about 12. We're pretty sure that's about how many Shakespeare's company had in it. So we're very fortunate to have Natalia Spengler taking on the title role of Hamlet in this particular production. She does an amazing, amazing job. It's a great treat to see her do this. Perfect time in her career, perfect time in her life to be doing this. But we got a lot of our, some new folks in the cast this time and some folks who have been the road with us here. Becky Orford has been since her 11th Shakespeare and her 21st Theater in the Rough production. I can hardly believe it. Eddie Jones is back playing Horatio. Denise Gott as Gertrude, and Denise's daughter Maisie as in playing Osric and a couple of other smaller parts. Lily Odekirk plays Ophelia. We have Travis Croteau back, Zebediah Bodine playing Laertes, Molly York, Dan Wayne, Salisa Thole, and myself. There's the cast.
Terrific. So how are ticket sales going? There's capacity this weekend and next weekend before you guys close?
We have tickets still to buy. You can go online and get them. The bookstores, they're available. We'll also have a couple of tickets at the door. So if it says sold out online, please give us a call. We'll try to get a waiting list going. So far, the tickets have sold pretty well for this coming weekend, but there's still plenty of room. So please come on out.
Okay, terrific. So we have the regular performances. We also have the Hamlet for Dessert
Hamlet
that you
for
mentioned.
Dessert. Yeah.
All of this information is on your website.
Yes, it is. And one thing we should probably make clear is that on the Thursday, one of the reasons for doing this production on the Thursday, we couldn't gather the entire cast on that Thursday night, so we won't be doing the full show, but we'll give you a 20-minute version of it just so you're sort of up to scratch. If you haven't seen the production yet, you want to watch the DVD extras before you actually watch the DVD. That you're crazy, but if you want to do that, that's cool, and we'll try to make it make sense for you.
Okay, well, all of that sounds terrific. Enjoy the next couple weekends of performances. I guess I'm supposed to say break a leg,
oh,
right?
That's it.
The
yes.
theater lingo.
Yes.
Terrific.
Yes, indeed.
Aaron, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having you in the next time.
Good.
All right, take care.